This is the Blue and Orange Experience, your official podcast of Morgan State University Athletics. I'm Lamont Germany. This week on the Experience, we're talking tennis.
You know, if things go well, like we believe they will this year, and we get our title.
Morgan State University tennis.
I still don't believe that, you know, we've done enough. And so I think with that, it's always a motivation for us, you know, to continue to push and understand that there's always somebody that's trying to take the spot.
Head tennis coach Matthew Towns, talking Morgan tennis, talking Coco.
Met her mom and her when she was maybe like 8 years old, 9 years old. I think Coco's going to be one of the greatest tennis players of all time. I really do. I don't see the way that her team is set up. I don't see how she could fail.
Morgan football on hiatus, the Bears in hibernation. 20 days in between football games. But Coach Wilson says the work continues. The focus remains the same. Cross country on the road up in Jersey, and Morgan State volleyball back at home this weekend to host crosstown rival Coppin State. All that and more on this week's edition of the Blue and Orange Experience.
Deep ball, down the seam, got a man out there, makes the catch.
Here come the Orange and the Blue.
1, 2, 3,
let's go!
Knocks down the three ball.
Lined in the right field, all the way to the fence. Rounding second, heading for third.
Who do you play for?
Morgan State!
First stop on the Experience, Morgan State football. It's been a little while, and it's going to be a little while before the Bears are back on the football field. Morgan in action at the end of September on the road taking on Yale. Next target will be North Carolina Central. That'll be next Thursday night at home on October 19th. First MEAC game, going to be a big game. Head coach Damon Wilson says, in the meantime, the Bears have been chopping wood.
And we're trying to continue to teach them how to win, teach them to do the things that it takes to be successful. We're looking at some things that we're doing as coaches to see how we can improve those environments or atmospheres or situations for those guys. And, you know, all in all, they came back, came to work in the weight room. We had a great practice. You know, like I said, we understand that we're young at certain positions and we're inexperienced, but, you know, we're going to continue to fight, continue to push through our schedule. It is what it is. And we had an opportunity to really make some noise nationally, not just in MEAC, with some of the wins. So we got to find a way to win those ball games.
Morgan taking on the defending champion North Carolina Central Eagles under the lights next Thursday night, October 19th at Hughes Stadium. Morgan State University volleyball looking forward to their next encounter on the court. Going to happen Friday night, going to happen at home. Morgan going to be taking on the crosstown rival, Coppin State. It's the Bears, it's the Eagles. First serve going to be 6 p.m. October 13th. A big day up in Jersey last weekend for Morgan State cross country. The men, after a 13-day layoff, placed 8th out of a 31-team field at the NJIT Highlander Challenge hosted by the New Jersey Institute of Technology. Morgan finishing the 8-kilometer race with 208 points on a very rainy afternoon up in New Jersey. Leading the way for the Morgan men, Perry Bennett. He ran a season best time of 25:56.7. And the Morgan ladies also in Jersey this past weekend. They finished 9th out of that 34-team field at the Highlander Challenge. Leading the way for Morgan, Abigail Fisher. She ran a season best time of 19:29.8 to place 11th overall. Ladies back in action as well in Gettysburg this weekend. Meanwhile, also in action this weekend, it's the season opener for the Ladies of the Lanes, the Morgan State bowling team. They hit the road at the Penguin Classic hosted by Youngstown State University. First competition under the leadership of first-year head bowling coach Alvin Franklin Jr. Time now for the Blue and Orange Spotlight. In the spotlight this week, we're going to step on the tennis court. Talk to Morgan State University tennis coach Matthew Towns in his 8th season as the head man in charge of Morgan State tennis.
Coach, let's just start there. The difference in the program
and the difference in you as an individual and as a coach from when you first took over the reins 8 years ago to where we are today?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest change in myself is just maturity. I think when I first got the job, you know, I wanted to win, and that's like was the only thing on my mind, you know. And being a student here, being an athlete here, you know, it's home. So I always, you know, in my mind, I always wanted to put us where I knew we should be. And so I think over the years, along with winning, I've been able to now, you know, add a better experience for the athlete that are here. I think that there are a lot of other things that are important, and especially with like these social changes that's been going on, these different movements during COVID, and these different things has given us a different perspective of, I think, as I get older, I'm more grateful for the opportunity that we have in this position. And I try to coach out of gratefulness with my athletes and to each other, to show each other grace. And I think that's, you know, it shows over the course of time, the experience and the athletes that we're bringing in here and the things we're doing with them, I think it's showing good. The school has changed a lot in the past 8 years with these new constructions and you know, the athletic department going through changes as well. And I think with every change, it's been a better addition to the entire student experience. And so I think, you know, as the athletic department has put more value and more time and just frankly more money into the programs, we've been able to achieve more.
During the course of that 8 years, Coach, you've had some triumphs, you've had some championships, you've had some disappointments. My heart still hurts from what happened in the tournament this past spring against North Carolina Central on the men's side. Man, when you have something like that go on and it doesn't go your way, how do you react as a coach? How do your athletes react in the aftermath of that kind of disappointment?
Well, I think the biggest thing to understand is, yes, we want to win, but it's not number one on our brain when we're playing. Okay. Like, you just have to try to execute as best you can. And when you don't execute and things don't go your way, you just kind of reflect on, you know, what we could have done differently in these moments and try to hope that we get that opportunity again to correct those moments. In the battle, it hurts, of course, losing it. But, you know, like you said, we had some triumphs, and we've been on the top end of a lot of those battles with Central in particular, you know. And for it to go back, you know, it's a little bit of our own medicine. So it humbles us a bit. I think that was my first loss to Central as a coach. And to have it in the playoffs, it's good for us. It gives us a lot of motivation going into this year. And I think we learned a lot more from our losses than our games, than our wins, you know. And so I hope that the perspective that I've taken in trying to get us better and trying to do things differently is the same one that, you know, my athletes take as well and do a lot of self-reflection. There's a lot of things I could have done differently as a coach, a lot of things I could have said or should have said. And instead of worrying about that, I just know when I'm in this situation again, if I get that opportunity, I have to be ready for it.
As you mentioned, you have had your triumphs. You've been to the pinnacle. You won the MEAC championship. Does it ever get old being there at the top of the heap at the end of conference competition?
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah, we won a couple HBCU national titles. We won a couple MEAC championships. But the hold that I think South Carolina State has had on this conference in the tennis, on the tennis side, is always going to be motivation. And I don't think until we, you know, can consecutively win, you know, 3-4 in a row, that we're really at the top of the conference. Even when we win, you know, even if we win, you know, if things go well, like we believe they will this year, and we get our title, I still don't believe that, you know, we've done enough. And so I think with that, it's always a motivation for us, you know, to continue to push and understand that there's always somebody that's trying to take the spot. The conference has gotten stronger. I know the teams have gotten fewer, but the actual teams that are still here, it's tough. And like on the ladies' side, it's really, really thick. It's six or seven teams that can really go after it. And I think no matter if you're winning these matches or not, you have to understand that there's always, you know, a team that's trying to take you out. We started competing in the beginning of September, like right after Labor Day weekend. We started, the guys had a home tournament, the ladies had a tournament up in Philadelphia. And then from there, we went to Atlanta to the HBCU National Tournament. Had some good success there. Both teams were in Pennsylvania for another invitation. That's kind of what we're doing for the fall. We have five tournaments, plus our ITA regional. Hopefully we can get a couple of kids ranked in that tournament. But coming up, the following weekend is actually our regional tournament for our men. So some of our guys are gonna be going to get a college ranking. And the others will be going to Annapolis, the Navy. They have a tournament. The ladies will be in town at Loyola for a tournament that weekend, the 13th through the 15th of October. And then their regional tournament is the following week. So we have, you know, the last two or three weeks, we're wrapping up the fall. By the end of October, we'll be finished with our fall season. Hopefully, we have learned everything that we need to do. And use that to carry into January when we start back up.
Is there a distinction at all between the general approach in the fall as opposed to when you get into spring and obviously into MEAC competition? Are there similarities or are there contrasting styles in terms of what you're looking to accomplish?
There are a lot of similarities, obviously, with like competition, and we want to win everything that we play, right? Like our goal is to execute as best we can every single time we step on the court, no matter who it is and no matter what time of year it is. But I think the main goal for the fall is to develop the athletes as best we can.
Okay.
So we develop through competition as well, but we're doing a lot of learning. So losses, we study a lot more. We really break down, we even do film. We break down a lot of different things. In the spring, it's more just competition-based. And so we use all of these tournaments to, you know, train hard during the week, go play during the weekend, see where we are, come back, reevaluate, do it all again. So we have 2 months of, in the fall, just competing. If we win tournaments, great. If we don't, it's okay. Because we know it's not, the end goal is not winning in the fall. The end goal is, you know, the end of April and getting to the NCAA tournament. So we keep it all in perspective from the beginning of the year. But I would say the biggest difference is fall athletic development, spring, you know, competing.
Break down the teams for me, Coach, this academic year, 23-24. I guess we'll start with the ladies, both in terms of new student athletes coming in and some of the key contributors.
No, absolutely. So we have three new young ladies on the team. Two are transfers. Both came from in-conference schools. They both were number one players. One was the number one player from Norfolk State. Her name is Alexandra Abdokhamova. We call her Sasha. She was the number one player at Norfolk State for 2 years. She's a junior. She won multiple Player of the Week awards in the conference. She actually was first team all conference 2 years in a row, and we were able to, you know, she wanted to find a new experience and find a new program somewhere that could help her develop as a player more, where somewhere she felt that, you know, she was going to fit in and could develop her game more. And so I was happy to bring her on board. The other transfer is from Coppin State. She was the number one player there, Eva Jankovic. She's Serbian and finished in 2022 for Coppin. And she was out this past year, but trained and you know, stayed in shape. And so now she's here to do grad school. She has 2 years to compete, just like Sasha does. So we're excited about both of them. Very high level players. They've competed at the conference, won at a very high level. And we know that we're gonna get them to where they need to go. Our third addition actually is a freshman. She finished, I believe, as the number one player in the state, Julia Jeffrey. She's a four-star recruit, almost five-star recruit. I think right now she's the highest American recruit we've had at Morgan. So,
wow.
Yeah, definitely the highest in the state of Maryland that we've ever had. It's one or two. She finished one or two. I don't know what the final rankings were, but one of the top players in the state, and like I said, almost a five-star recruit. So really happy about her and the development of these three young ladies as they come in and join the team. That means of our top six, four of our top six ladies were number one players.
Wow.
So I think that on paper it's good. You know, we just have to put in a lot of work.
Right.
And we are not where we want to be, so we understand that. That's all in the past. Everything that we're talking about now is in the past. They haven't done anything yet, right? They're on our team. They haven't achieved anything yet, and so we're all on the same page. On the men's side, there's actually like five different freshmen that are here right now. Four of them are American players, and they're coming. They're great students. They work really hard. One young man, his name is Tejas Singh. He's from India. Really, really looking forward to a lot of big things from him. He was a top player in India, like top 20 player in India. It's like over a billion people in India. And if you are, you know, top 20 in India, you're very high level.
You're pretty good.
Yeah, you can be top 20 in America too. So we're really excited about him and his development as well. And of course of these freshmen that are here as well. Once again, we're excited about them, but we just have to work. You know, we have to, as a freshman, I don't think any of these guys have played so much tennis in their lives. And so they're having to get adjusted to the schedule and waking up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. We practice from 6 to 9, sometimes a little bit later. And so they have to get up and get ready and get adjusted to it and the hours. And so I'm just looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing what happens with their development while they're under the program.
Of course, you have the reigning player of the year in the conference, Mr. Carpenter. I guess the question for him is, Coach, can he get even better?
He better be able to. Yeah, I mean, I think one of my old coaches used to tell me all the time. Actually, it's funny. Michael's grandfather used to tell me, you're getting better or you're getting worse every day. There is no in between. There is no staying still. So I would like to think that, you know, what we're doing every day and the work that he's putting in is only going to lead him to be better. Every day he gets wiser. Every day he gets, you know, a little bit more mature. And I think that is only, you know, paying dividends in what we see on the court. He's already earned two wild card entry events, professional tennis tournament events, and $15,000 tournaments. He has two of those now. That's never happened at Morgan while someone's been playing. And their main draw, so he doesn't have to qualify for the tournaments. He's in it, main draw. He won two tournaments that put him in that position to get these two wild cards, so we're really, really excited about that. He has plans to play, you know, at the next level, and I think if there's anybody in our conference, not just in our team, if there's anybody in our conference that has a chance, it's Michael. So we're just doing everything that we possibly can to allow him to complete his college experience. We want him to graduate. He's on track to do that. He graduates, and we'll have him in a position to go and continue to play tennis.
Let's talk about this game, Coach. And I want to separate it into two categories in terms of achieving success, or at least maximizing what you can do as a student athlete on the tennis court, the mental aspect and the physical aspect of this game. You know, clearly there needs to be some physical talent that you have in order to compete on the highest level. How much does the mental aspect of this game play into putting you over the top, putting you at the Michael Carpenter level, at the championship level, at maximizing what you can do on a consistent basis, match in and match out?
I think it's everything. So at this level and higher, most of your competition can do the same things that you can do. Everyone can hit serves, everyone can hit forehands, everyone can hit backhands. That's really not the issue anymore. You're very rarely going to see high level collegiate tennis where there's such a technical flaw in someone's game that you're not going to be able to just pick them apart just by hitting them one shot. You know, at a lower level, yeah. At high school levels even, you can, you know, if someone doesn't have a forehand, just hit the ball to their forehand, they'll give you the match, you know. But to be successful at this level, it takes all of your focus, all of your discipline, as well as the physical aspect. It's not like you're leaving that, or just because the game, the level of play has gone up, everything has to rise. And so You know, I would say without the physical, you can still get through matches. I mean, I've seen Michael, his freshman year played his entire season with a sprained wrist. His entire freshman year, and he lost two matches or three matches, like his entire freshman year playing injured. And so I know that the mind is definitely the biggest aspect in this sport. Every person is presented with a problem, and it has nothing to do with the other side of the net, with what's going on the other side. You're presented with a problem, and you have to figure it out. So if you're locked in and you're focused, you can solve the problem, right? And that's, no matter who's on the other side, everyone is beatable. Even if you're playing one of the best players in the world, they're beatable. You just have to be able to solve the problem. And if you're focused, if you've been doing your work, you've been studying, it's just like a classroom, you're gonna be able to pass the test.
Coach, let's talk about you, your background. I think a lot of people may not be aware that coaching is in your DNA, it's in your blood. You basically were born into a situation where I don't know that you would have done anything else except for what you're doing today as a tennis coach. Talk about that family background and the first time you can remember picking up a racket.
My grandfather started all of my family in tennis. One day he was just, you know, kind of watching tennis and decided to pick it up. He got out of the military, had a lot of time on his hands, and started playing tennis. So my father, my uncles, my aunts, they had a big family. He taught them all how to play, and my dad just stuck with it. And actually just recently, my grandfather, well, I say recently, maybe in the past 10 years, he stopped playing tennis and now he just plays golf, but he picked up golf. But my dad is still a coach. And so, you know, it's always been in our blood. My brother played in college and played at the, you know, a professional level. My sister played in school. She played at Howard and finished a couple years before me. And so, I mean, some of my earliest memories are on the tennis court. My very first tennis racket was an old wooden racket that my dad chopped off the handle and put some duct tape around it, and that's what I was playing. You know, the old wooden rackets. There were no junior rackets or small rackets back in the day. So he just chopped the handle off, put a piece of duct tape, and that was my tennis racket. I must have been like 4 years old, three maybe. And so it's really the only thing I've ever thought I was gonna do. You know, being on the court, watching my father coach, watching the success of players, watching the development of players my whole life, it's just something that I always kind of knew I was gonna do. And helping people is something that I always found very easy for me to do. I was always, you know, inclined to just do for others around me. And so that's what I was doing. After college, I just started coaching junior tennis. And, you know, eventually this opportunity opened up. You know, the love that I have for the school allowed me to, you know, stop what I was doing, come here and be a part of this program and really make it a good experience. And so between my personal experience playing here and, you know, every job I've ever done, everything I've ever actually done outside of school has been tennis. And so it emerged in a really good position. So I think me being here was, you know, was planned.
Coach, can we finish up by talking just a little bit about Coco?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do a little Coco. She's 19.
Yeah.
She's the age of the people you're coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now.
She's with a couple of my girls, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic. Coach, just talk to me about what you see
as
a coach. A 19-year-old just coming off her first major victory.
Yeah. So I've been lucky to have been around her when she was young. Like I met her mom and her when she was maybe like 8 years old, 9 years old. And just watching her, you know, keeping track of everything that was going on in her junior career, watching how she started developed, was always really good. And when she came on the scene, you know, at like 17, like about to turn 17, we knew she could be good. We knew she was fast. But the work that she's put in is showing that she's been dedicated. Her mom said that her daughter was going to be number one in the world when she was before she was 10 years old. You know, like this is something that they have put in place, you know, with her belief since she was a very young girl, and that's showing. Like I called it actually that she was going to win the U.S. Open before the city opened. So I watched her practice in D.C. and the tournament that's in D.C. It's a 500, maybe like three or four tournaments before the actual U.S. Open, and she won that, and then she won Cincinnati, and she wasn't even playing the best tennis. Like, she's just fighting. And, like, she was digging, and she just wanted it more than every single player that she faced. And you could just see it. You know, she didn't have to have everything. And I think that's that's another great sign for her, because I think her tennis isn't even the best yet. And she's competing at such a high level and is going to continue to push. I think Coco is going to be one of the greatest tennis players of all time. I really do. I don't see there's any – she has no flaws in her game. And I don't see the way that her team is set up. I don't see how she can fail. I really think the world of this young lady, and I think she's going to be one of the greatest.
Well,
high praise to somebody who knows what he's talking about. Coach, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Matt Towns, head tennis coach, Morgan State University. Thank you, Coach.
There you have it, another edition of the Blue and Orange Experience. Until next week, I'm Lamont Germany.